Welcome back to The Mortician's Daughter. This might not surprise you, but I like learning about history. Humans are super weird, and maybe that's why the stories that emerge from our shared past oftentimes are, well, weird. But today we're here to talk about weird moments in history, written and recorded, that made the generations to follow say, huh? Like the Boston Molasses Disaster, which we talked about on Shared Despair, episode 12 of The Mortician's Daughter. Without further ado, let's get started. The Dancing Plague of 1518 was, without a doubt, one of the strangest episodes in history. Imagine hundreds of people suddenly breaking into dance, not for joy, but because they couldn't stop. It all started when Frau Trofea busted out some moves in the streets of Strasbourg, and before anyone could say, just dance, she had a whole flash mob of involuntary dancers getting down. They danced for days, sweating and stumbling and no doubt developing some nasty blisters. Hundreds of people took to dancing for weeks. There are a few different theories about this dancing phenomenon. The most popular theory is stress-induced mass hysteria, but other theories include religious fervor and even toxic mushrooms. At the time, Strasbourg was part of the Holy Roman Empire, so the authorities, in all their wisdom, thought the best cure was more dancing. Physicians suggested patients dance themselves free of the ailment. Musicians were hired and a stage was built in the local guild hall because nothing says stop dancing like creating a medieval rave. Some people even danced themselves to death. The authorities realized their solution was causing more harm than good and quickly shifted gears to outlaw dancing. Some believe the dancing plague was a punishment from St. Vitus because in Germany, people would dance before his statue to celebrate his feast day. St. Vitus was considered the patron saint of dancers and entertainers. He's also thought to protect against lightning strikes, animal attacks, and oversleeping. Interesting. Now, there's a lot of disagreement about the number of people killed by this dancing plague. Some sources claim that about 15 people died per day, but there's no actual record of the fatalities. If that 15 people a day bit is true, then hundreds of people were killed by the plague. Historians tend to place the body count somewhere between 50 and 400. The cause of the dancing plague of 1518 remains a mystery, and it's not alone. There are plenty of weird moments in the history books. Let's move on to the next one on my list today. I was gonna talk about a few ghost ships, but I actually found way too many, so that might need to be its own episode. Instead, let's go back a smidge in history from the Dancing Plague of 1518 to the Voynich Manuscript, which was purportedly written in the 15th century, somewhere between 1404 and 1438, according to carbon dating. The manuscript was purchased by a Polish book dealer, Wilfred Voynich, in 1912 and subsequently named after him. It appears to have been composed in Italy during the Renaissance, but the origins, author, and meaning of the manuscript are unknown. Moreover, the language the book was written in is not a known human language. Cryptographers, even famous military codebreakers, have been unsuccessful in their attempts to crack the text found in the Voynich manuscript. Despite its extensive analysis, no known alphabet, language, or code has matched the script. And did I mention the codex is illustrated? Yep, fantastical illustrations of unnamed people or unknown plants are mixed in with astrological symbols and other drawings. Okay, so it's a roughly 600-year-old book written in an unknown language, featuring drawings of unknown things on parchment made from calfskin. That's what we know. Now let's look at everything we don't know. The paint and ink and parchment are all made from things found on Earth. The unknown language is written in about 20 to 25 unique characters that are made from simple pen strokes and appear to be broken into words, which makes it a language somewhat similar to our own. Now, when it comes to the illustrations, I'm pretty sure I just mentioned that the plants drawn into the book are not identifiable. There's also a series of interconnected drawings and text that shows women, often nude, bathing in pools of water or tubs that are connected by an elaborate network of pipes where the water flows between the different folios or pages. There are also a number of astronomical or astrological illustrations, like the zodiac constellations. These pages also feature more female figures, as many as 30, some nude, some holding stars. Now, what was the point? Why would someone make a book, an illustrated book, in a pretend language about imaginary things? At first glance, it looks like a book on the subject of medieval medicine or a compendium of herbal remedies, except the plants look like they were made up. The first owner we really know about was a 17th century alchemist from Prague, George Barish, who sent sample copies to a Jesuit scholar named Athanasius Kircher. Kircher claimed to have deciphered Egyptian hieroglyphics and even published a Coptic dictionary. When Barish died, the manuscript went to his friend Jan Marek Marcy, who then sent the book to Kircher with a cover letter that was still attached to the manuscript when it landed in the hands of that Polish book merchant centuries later. It's been suggested that the author might have been Roger Bacon, a 13th century Franciscan friar, polymath, and philosopher who believed in the empirical study of nature as the best path to wisdom. Of course, later carbon dating revealed the text to be a 15th century creation, which means it couldn't have been the work of this 13th century friar. John Dee and or Edward Kelly were both purported owners of the manuscript. John Dee, the English mathematician, astronomer, teacher, astrologer, occultist, and alchemist, served as court astronomer and advisor to Queen Elizabeth I. His friend, Sir Edward Kelly, was an occultist and scryer who claimed to see spirits or angels when using a shoe stone or mirror. He also claimed he could transmute various metals into gold, which was generally considered the goal of alchemy. Kelly said angels communicated with him in a special language called Enochian, which he then relayed to John Dee. He was suspected of fabricating this language. Shocker, I know. He's also suspected of fabricating the manuscript in order to swindle Rudolf II, Holy Roman Emperor and King of Hungary and Croatia, amongst other things. Whether Dee was part of Kelly's maniacal plans to rob the Holy Roman Emperor with a made-up angelic language is unknown, but the connection between the Voynich manuscript and his work is seen as somewhat uncertain. Some would even say dubious. In fact, these two might have pushed the false notion that the manuscript was created by Roger Bacon to help secure the sale to Emperor Rudolf. The history here is really muddled. But we know the manuscript wasn't the work of Bacon, nor is it likely that John Dee or Edward Kelly drafted the illustrated text. Some people pointed to Voynich himself as the writer of the elusive book. But once again, carbon dating generally eliminates any post-medieval suspect from the writer's pool. Other theories about the possible author have come up over the years. In fact, it's even been suggested that the text was composed in Mexico in the 1500s, based on the plants and animals, as well as a Kabbalah map of central Mexico. A paper published in 2014 outlined the correlation between an Aztec herbal text written in 1552 with the Voynich. Atacamite, a mineral found in the Atacamite Desert in Chile, is also present in the paint, which supports the theory that the text might have originated in the Americas and actually contains the language of the Aztecs. Once again, carbon dating doesn't really support this, but researchers argued that the vellum might have been stored away for use at a later date. Nevertheless, this analysis of the text has been widely criticized by other researchers, including language specialists familiar with Nahuel, the language of the Aztec people. Meanwhile, some scholars have claimed the manuscript is nothing more than a medieval hoax meant to look fancy, magical even, but conveys no actual language or knowledge. Others say the text is too sophisticated to be a hoax. No one seems to know, not really, despite the number of academics, codebreakers, and linguists who have attempted to resolve the mystery of the Voynich manuscript. Amongst the many theories, it's been suggested that the manuscript might be the secret text of a secret society who used coded language. There are so many unsubstantiated theories about the Voynich manuscript, I can't possibly pick my favorite. I mean, angelic text or ancient alchemy? Science fiction or secret societies? Historic hoax meant to defraud the Holy Roman Emperor? Something to ponder, I guess. I feel like I should include one more because I do like things in threes, and we've already discussed the Voynich manuscript and the Dancing Plague of Prague, but we'll need to keep this one brief. So, how about the Lead Masks case of 1966? See, back in 1966, two men in Brazil were found dead on a hill. That can happen, sure, but these dudes carried mysterious notes, and they both were found wearing lead masks. Hence the name. The cause of their death is unknown. The two men were both electronics technicians, and their bodies were discovered by a young boy who was playing on a hill near Rio de Janeiro. The lead masks they were wearing were similar to those used to protect against radiation and covered their eyes. To make things weirder, a notebook was found with them containing cryptic notes, including instructions that loosely translated to, quote, 4:30 p.m., be at the agreed place. 6:30 p.m., swallow capsules. After effect, protect metals. Wait for the mask signal, end quote. I mean, what the hell does that mean? Investigators never found out, and the dead men weren't going to fill in the gaps in the story. The bodies showed no signs of violence, and both men were dressed in suits and raincoats. They brought water bottles and towels. That last bit sounds straight out of Douglas Adams. And, once again, aliens are the unexpected answer to the unexplainable. Maybe. One popular theory suggests that the men were trying to communicate with or observe extraterrestrial beings, or were conducting an experiment involving unknown energies or substances. Then, there are those who speculate that the case may have involved spiritual beliefs or rituals linked to paranormal practices, but that doesn't really explain their deaths. Honestly, the mention of capsules in their notes points to potential poisoning. Maybe they ingested substances as part of their experiment or ritual. Unfortunately, due to the advanced decomposition of the bodies, toxicology tests were inconclusive. One thing we can say conclusively is a mysterious or unexplained death is the fertile crescent of strange theories, oftentimes involving aliens. But how often is the unknown later known and found to be lacking in supernatural substance? Sadly, all too often. Well, that brings us to the end of our little chat today. We live in a strange and wondrous world, a world with plenty of mysteries waiting to be uncovered. Maybe you can begin to untangle one of those we just discussed. Or, if you just so happen to be an angel or alien responsible for one of these confusing pieces of human history, good job! That shit is funny. But maybe consider filling us in on the joke sometime. Now would be a great time, actually. Oh well, until next time, my darling devils or devilish darlings, I hope you appreciate this world full of wonder and hold tight to hope for its future.